So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, I just got back from a long weekend in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and I gotta tell you, I'm feeling pretty refreshed. A little couples massage, some hiking, some swimming. You know, sometimes you just gotta get out of the city to recharge. A quick little change in scenery to rest and reset. Luckily, we've got plenty of options for day and weekend trips around the Midwest. So where should you go? Joining me from Thrillist, Meredith Heil gives us a few recommendations, and we hear some from CityCast readers. It's Thursday, July 14th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. Meredith, welcome to CityCast.
Thank you for having me.
We are spoiled for options around here. I know you got some recs, and we had our newsletter readers give us some too. So let's jump into it. What's your first recommendation for a nice little short trip?
So this would be my closest recommendation, and this is the Indiana Dunes National Park. The Dunes. So was a state park, still is a state park, half of it is a national park. It got that accreditation a little bit ago. And that I would say you would home base in Michigan City. That'd be my pick. They've got some really cool stuff there to do that's not just the nature stuff. So some cool hotels, 4111 Inn and Suites is one of my favorites, like a roadside, retro hotel that they kind of outfitted to be like a cool hip spot. And it's still pretty cheap. It's also pet friendly, which is nice because I always like traveling with my dog.
When I think about like Michigan City, I think about the Outlet Mall. When I think about the Dunes, I think about the beach. What's like your favorite things to do up there?
Dude, I love that Outlet Mall. That mall is killer. Always hit that mall.
My mom loves it so much. Anytime she's talking about like deals or bargain shopping, she always like, I'm not going to get this now. I'm going to go to Michigan City in a couple weeks and I'm going to get it then.
Exactly. That Nike outlet is the shit for sure. Oh, I don't know if I can swear. Can I?
Yes, you can. Okay, yeah, it is. My mom was a big Oshkosh Bagosh fan.
Oh, all right.
That was her store she had to hit. I don't know if it's still out there.
I think it is, actually.
That was her. I need me some fall time overalls. So I might need to get out there.
So obviously the dunes, the beach, swimming, you know, hiking the dunes are so beautiful, and it's so unlike so many places in the Midwest too, the rolling hills of sand. And outside of the dunes, there's tons of breweries actually that are pretty good. Shoreline Brewery, Michigan City, Zorn Brewery is also in Michigan City. There's some wineries, which, you know, Midwestern wine. Mm-hmm. Is worth trying. Hey, it's definitely
my mama's gonna hit this episode and be all for it. She's like, she talking about wine and brewery in Michigan City. I gotta get out there.
Yeah, I know. And you know, also a lot of cool camping opportunities out there as well. You can sleep right on the dunes, and some cool Airbnbs that butt up right against the dunes as well.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's accessible by Amtrak. I know Michigan City is on the Amtrak line that runs from like Millennium Station, 55th, 56th, 57th on the east side, Hegwisch. So if you don't want to drive, you could get out there by Amtrak potentially as well. I wanted to move into one of our reader recs. It comes from Matt P. He says the shoreline of Michigan's lower peninsula up to Mackinac Island. I know you were talking a little bit about the upper peninsula. I'm not familiar with Mackinac Island. Is this a place that you've driven by, that you've gone to?
Yeah. So it's kind of like if you drive up the Michigan side toward the Upper Peninsula, it's kind of the last stop in the part of the mitten that's the top of the mitten before you get over to the UP. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's like an old school kind of Midwest resort town. It kind of even has like a little bit of like seaside kind of coastal vibes, even though it's on the lake. It's super serene and pretty, and there's lots to do there, even though it's real tiny.
Your second recommendation, you recently wrote about it and you talked about finding a little of that East Coast right here in the Midwest. So what's your second recommendation for the folks?
That's right. So the Driftless region of Wisconsin. So I found out about the Driftless maybe a year ago. I read an article about it and I was like, I got to get out there. It's super weird. So it
sounds like a scary horror.
It's not that scary.
Okay.
So basically it gets its name because it's basically along the Mississippi River Valley in both Minnesota, Wisconsin, and a little bit of Illinois and Iowa. And that part of the world, during the last ice age, it didn't actually get covered over by ice. So the land didn't get leveled like it did in most of the Midwest. So you think of the Midwest as being sort of flat plains, right? And this place, it kept all of its sort of structural integrity before the ice age. So it's got, I don't want to say big mountains, but for the Midwest, they're pretty impressive. Really craggy landscape and really different soil types too, so that you get a lot of cool farming out there, some different cheeses and stuff like that you don't find anywhere else. And there's a lot of weird little roadside attractions up there that just, I love that. Whenever I do a road trip, I go on to like, you know, Atlas Obscura or whatever, and I just mark out all the weird stuff you pull over for. There's like a place up there that's like Wisconsin Stonehenge.
I saw that picture.
Yeah. It's called the Kinstone Megalithic Garden. So that's like just a cool spot to walk around. There's a place up there called Rock in the House, and that's in Fountain City. It's kind of at the uppermost part of the Driftless in Wisconsin. And it's basically this giant boulder fell into a house, and then they decided to make that into a museum and keep it as is. It's pretty weird.
I'm loving this conversation for us who are always focused on Chicago, what's right in the Chicagoland area. It's another good reminder that not too far outside of our city, there are just some cool opportunities to take in. And our next reader recommendation is also rocky and appeals to our nature lovers. It's from Dia B, who said, my road trip goal this summer is Matheson State Park for their canyons and rock formations. I hate driving, but an hour and a half away and not via the Kennedy seems like something I can manage. Have you ever gone to Matheson State Park?
I have, yeah. You know, so it's basically right next door to Starved Rock. So you can either stay at Matheson if you like to camp, which I do, or stay at Starved Rock, or, you know, they have lodges and hotels around there. And you can, Starved Rock is bigger crowds because it's more famous. So Matheson is really cool because you get a bit more lay of the land, so you have a bit more freedom out there.
When you're preparing to go to a state park to maybe go take a hike, what are some of those things you have to do in preparation? Like, so for example, when I went to Lake Geneva, we ended up going on like an 8-mile hike, but I'm gonna be real with you, I don't think I really knew what the terrain was going to be. And so I had the right shoes. My girlfriend didn't, so I had to take my socks off and give her my socks. We made it through no problems, but I don't think we actually prepared to go outdoors to take a hike. So we kind of deal the best. But if you're preparing to go to like Matheson State Park, or if you're going to the Driftless region, what are some of those go-to items that you got to have with you?
Yeah, for sure. So I usually have some sort of backpack or fanny pack. Got to put water in there. You know, I usually have my dog, so I put some treats in there, you know, keep him entertained, and a little bowl for him so he can drink some water too. Maybe a snack if you know you're going to be gone for a while. I would also read up to see, you know, usually the trails will have different markers of how tough they are, how steep they are. So you get a sense of what you're taking on, how long they are. Bug spray.
We had our water. We did not have our bug spray. And they was getting at us. And prior to that, it was a pretty bugless summer for me. I didn't have a lot, which is probably a problem. Like, I feel like the amount of bugs in our ecosystem has severely dropped since we was kids, but we can get into that another day. And shout out to our homies, Black People Outside, who put us up on all trails, because that app, that was able to help us understand what was the elevation we were working with. Luckily, there were multiple trails, so we could hop off if we needed to, but it definitely just reminded us, because we were like, you know what? I think we want to get outside more this summer. As long as we stay prepared. So what is your third recommendation for our CityCast listeners?
My third recommendation is not necessarily a nature spot, and that would be Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville?
Yeah, I'm a huge Louisville fan. I think it's one of the coolest, most underrated cities in the country.
I mean, you might be making a pitch for a CityCast Louisville right here. I need you. I have some homies who went to school there. You know, we've talked about the Ali Museum. What do you love about Louisville?
Well, the Ali Museum is very cool. I mean, you know, I came into travel writing through writing about drinks. So obviously bourbon's a big draw down there. And what's really cool is that in the last couple of years, they've really made a push to make Louisville more visitor friendly, especially the downtown area. So generally in Louisville, you go there, you hear about bourbon country, but you have to travel an hour and a half, 2 hours outside. So you're spending a lot of time in a car, whether you're taking a tour or you're driving around yourself with a designated driver. It's not really in Louisville. So a lot of those distilleries that are out there have put like satellite branches in downtown Louisville. So at this point, you can walk downtown Louisville and you can hit like five or six different like amazing distilleries between Peerless, Angel's Envy, Michter's, Copper and Kings, which does some really cool stuff with brandy. Old Forester has a tasting room there, Rabbit Hole, Evan Williams, and they will give you both the tasting and they do some distilling on site so you can kind of see what they're up to.
Okay. I'm loving this drink vibe you're giving. I like a good bourbon. I like a good good Kentucky bourbon. I've been drinking a lot of Quilla lately, but you know, bourbon still's got my heart. Do I know Churchill Downs is in Louisville, which we probably only talk about around the Derby, but you know.
You can go anytime, yeah. You can go and bet on the horses anytime you want. It's a pretty fun experience to get down there. Yeah, and well, speaking of sports, if you want to call horse racing a sport, which I arguably it is, the soccer team there, they have a women's soccer team called Racing Louisville, and they play out of the Lynn Family Stadium, and it's an incredible stadium. Like, in America, you don't find too many specifically soccer stadiums. And this one was built for soccer, and it's just, like, awesome. And they're actually, in August, they're hosting the second annual Women's Cup, which has teams coming from all over the world.
I want to go to the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory.
It's cool.
I didn't play baseball a lot growing up, but baseball bats are just so cool to me.
It's a really cool tour. I mean, I'm a big baseball fan, but they also have the largest baseball bat in the world out front of there. So even if you don't go inside for the tour, you can take a picture. It's a pretty fun little photo op.
That is what's up. For our final reader recommendation, it comes from Mary White, who says 2.5 hours drive west of Chicago to Galena. Galena Territory is in Apple Canyon Lake. This is another one I wasn't really familiar with. Have you ever gone out here?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Super cute, like small town vibes. They have this downtown that's just like super cute little shops and restaurants. And they have some pretty nice resorts there that'll get you outside. Okay. It's right on the river there, so it's just pretty. It's just like a place to kick back.
And apparently there's a yearly rodeo.
That's news to me. I believe it.
What do you think makes this region so special and interesting to explore?
I think it gets written off a lot, you know? Yeah. And I think that it's created a lot of local pride, and especially hyper-local pride, in that people, like, you go up to the Driftless in Wisconsin, people have been there for generations. And they know everything there is to know about this tiny little town, and they love it, and they love the bar that they, you know, that they're running there, that's been the oldest operating bar in Wisconsin or whatever they want to say. You know, they take such pride in all of the local foods that they're serving, you know, the local drinks that they're serving. And there's just like a genuine sort of both like laid back and approachable, but also just fiercely proud of where you're from out here, which I really appreciate.
Well, Meredith, I really appreciate you joining us on CityCast Chicago. As you go through your summer plans, I hope you'll keep us posted. But I also hope as you're exploring Chicago, you know, continuing to submit it as your home, you'll look at our CityCast Summer Bucket List Challenge. We got some amazing opportunities for places for people to visit around the city of Chicago. And I hope you'll maybe put some of those on your summer to-do list as well.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. Governor Pritzker has issued an executive order revising some of the state's COVID protocols, including testing requirements have been softened for unvaccinated healthcare employees, and he will not reissue vaccine mandates for higher education employees, students, and emergency medical service providers. If you're up to it, you can read the full executive order at a link in the show notes. The Illinois Department of Public Health will soon have a new director. Dr. Samir Vohra starts on August 1st. Vohra already serves on the Illinois State Board of Health, the Illinois Medicaid Advisory Committee, and the Governor's Rural Affairs Council. Yeah, as prices for rent, food, and gas continue to smack most of us upside the head, U.S. inflation has reached a new four-decade high of 9.1%. There's some good news to get you through. The Roscoe Village Burger Fest is back starting tomorrow. There are going to be two stages for live entertainment, a bunch of dancing, and plenty of burgers to choose from. Plus, there are going to be vegetarian and vegan options available. I'm looking at you, Carrie Shepherd. As always, for more Chicago stories, subscribe to our daily newsletter at chicago.citycast.fm. And while you're there, check out our CityCast Chicago Summertime Shy Bucket List Challenge. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace. So let me make sure I'm doing that part. There we go. All right. I was like, I don't see that little red thing going in the back. All right, so here we go. Now we got it.